So first off, we're the next session is going to be a lecture with Mark Johnson to discuss approaches to metadata, schema, et cetera, within the project. And then after that, we're going to break up into some more of a workshop type of approach with one group actually heading out of the room that's focused on architecture and the technical side, developers and vendors that would like to be part of that. Miklos will help us out, direct us at that point. And then within the room here, we're going to try World Cafe. I don't know if you've approached this in the past, but we'll see how it goes. But first, Mark, sir.
Right, so welcome back from lunch. Unfortunately, my slides have way more bullet points than should ever have been included in a session that's straight after lunch, so I'm sorry about that. There's probably too many bullet points anyway, and definitely for straight after lunch. Chris is right, I'm going to talk about metadata predominantly and about how to approach in Folio. It's going to be slightly different to the title that was published, I think, it's in the same area. So who am I? So I'm a little bit different from probably everybody else who stood up here today. I haven't worked in library systems until about 10 months ago. So I'm brand new and kind of, I have a fresh pair of eyes on this subject. So, and the logo's up and behind. I've done quite a lot of different work in different domains. The picture that's rather, with me, rather strange, kind of bunny ears above me, is from an Agile conference. So I've been quite involved in the Agile software development space and in working for different domains. But this is pretty much my first library project, so I'm coming at this from probably quite a different perspective. Thankfully, the company I'm working with or working for is called Knowledge Integration, and they have bags of experience in this. Ian Ibbotson, who I'm working with, who can't be here today, has been doing this probably since about the early 90s. And working on projects like KB Plus and GoKB, working an awful lot in the UK with organizations like JISC and done some work with Olay, for example, GoKB. They've just finished a set of work to put in decision support making in there and notifications and alerting for when you think you had an ebook and then suddenly it disappears and you wonder why. And so thankfully, Ian provides a whole heap of the domain knowledge, and I provide more of the experience on how kind of services and distributed systems work, and that's kind of why I was engaged with Ian. My talk's going to take three parts. It's going to talk about the past, the present, and the future. It's going to go in a slightly different order, though. I'm going to go in the past, then the future, then the present. Hopefully that will make sense as they go along. It's a little strange, I know. The past will be very quick, hopefully, and is just intended to set a bit of context. Everybody in this room will more likely have more knowledge and more context about this than I do, so more personal experience of this, but I thought I'd call out some relevant pieces. So I'm going to start with cataloging. So the metadata aspects that we've been talking about a lot have been predominantly bibliographic and descriptive metadata, although we do talk about different types of metadata. From my perspective, cataloging is still a very important skill, and it's a very difficult skill. It requires a lot of time and attention. The challenges with that is that the number and variety of resources that people are trying to catalog just keeps increasing. And so we've got a long history of work where some of this is just takes, people aren't able to actually take the time that they need to do that work as well as they'd like to, and I think that's a real missed opportunity because there are lots of people who can skillfully describe these resources if only they had the time or the ability or the focus to be able to do it. So that leads me nicely into different kinds. We've been talking about descriptive and administrative metadata, so in the case of descriptive, I think, you know, bibliographic and talking about how and describing books and journals and all those sort of things. Administrative, I'm really referring to things like how do we do subscription management for electronic resources? How do we deal with, how do we know that the package that we've got contains these ebooks and not these other ebooks? Or how do we know what condition the physical items in our library are in? Another trend that's happening, we've seen physical and electronic resources arrive into the kind of market space. A lot of systems seem to have been either physical or electronic. This is one of the themes that we think is, for a lot of the time, that's making people's lives, administrative lives, much harder, potentially unnecessarily so in a lot of cases. The other thing that's happened is that the types of resources, and I have a list here, but the list is pales in comparison to the list that Mark showed before lunch. I had no idea that walking sticks might be in the scope of this project, but it would appear they might be. The other trend that I've been picking up when I've been learning about this is this community likes to define standards, and it's like to define them quite a lot, and some of them have been very long-lived. The history really has been a great credit. It's also it's also kind of a weight to carry in the sense that some of these standards were invented a long time ago and have been incredibly successful. We may be reaching a point where we become overly reliant on some and they've actually become problematic for us rather than advantageous. This is just an example of a few that I picked out. I'll come back to some of them later in the presentation because we picked some of them to focus on in the early days of our folio work. So this, and then finally, this brings me the topic of this talk, we've seen the emergence of knowledge bases. My understanding is that they appeared mostly to support link resolvers and then discovery systems and then later ERMs. And they've almost become a crux of some systems and they become something that stores very different types of information, various different types of metadata. They don't just store bibliographic metadata or descriptive metadata, they store administrative, they store reporting. Some of them store an awful lot of this. Now, I think that whilst this can be very beneficial to optimize that system, mixing those metadata together can cause some challenges for how we interoperate with other platforms and other systems. So I think that the challenges that I've been seeing that have led us to this point, every librarian I talk to has less time and less money to do all of the work they want to do and to buy all of the things that they want in their library and to buy access to the electronic resources or to buy the books. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this when, you know, we're talking about a situation where there is some money to spend, but maybe, you know, I think it's challenging that the administrative overheads are high and it's very hard to make sure that you've got enough time. We're also seeing a massive increase in the resources that a library has to look after, both in terms of what it actually holds and in terms of what it has, what it enables access for its patrons to have in the form of electronic resources. That's meant that we have significantly more of these. And as I've talked about before, we have a higher variety. I thought that was as simple as audio recordings and DVDs and data and, you know, and scientific data. Turns out it's far more interesting, like maps and definitions of buildings and historical information. There's so many different types of resources that we could describe or different types of metadata that we can describe. A lot of our systems have very much focused on bibliographic and descriptive, and that whilst well suited to those isn't necessarily well suited to a future which has a much wider variety. And finally, the standards that I mentioned, those standards are evolving. When we've chosen, many systems have chosen to use those standards as their core representation. That has probably given them a massive advantage at times in their evolution. It's also potentially caused challenges of coupling that system to that representation and made it much harder to evolve over time. So what is the vision that Folio is talking about for metadata that we're hoping kind of helps with some of these problems? So one aspect is leveraging cataloging effort across organizations. This could take the form of, in this case, we're talking about external knowledge bases. We're talking about the idea that systems like WorldCat or EBSCO-KB are providing commercial options for people to utilize professional cataloging effort that can be shared across people. Or we might be talking about GoKB, where it's a community effort and there's community curation. And one of the things that we've talked about in Folio is we quite like to be able to support a combination of those in the sense that I think Neil said it. It's about choice, and choice has been a theme. Some of this is a choice of where you get your bibliographic or descriptive metadata from, or where you get all the metadata from, and it might be that those choices are different for the different resources in your system. another opportunity we have is that, I think I alluded to this, is that metadata for different purposes can be hugely valuable to different people or different contexts. One of the challenges of putting it all in one place is it can put a burden on anybody wanting. So let's say I want some administrative metadata, but I'm not really worried about the descriptive part of this. Well, some say, if we built our APIs to include both, we might rely on, a client might need to rely on both. So there's a value in separating these out, and particularly when we're integrating with third parties. Some knowledge bases might only support descriptive metadata. They might not support administrative metadata or some aspects of descriptive metadata. We don't really want to exclude those systems from Folio. We acknowledge that standards keep evolving. I mean, BibFrame is changing all the time. Lots of the other modern standards are changing. We're not going to stop that progress. The progress of standards is not going to, it's not going to go away. It's not going to, and so we need to embrace it and embrace it in a way that says there needs to be a sustainable path for supporting standards as we go forward and supporting interoperability. And finally, and I think a few people have talked about this, we'd like to embrace linked data. I got really confused when Ian first told me about linked data and about metadata in general, because to me it was just data, and it was just data with relationships in it or with links to other data. It took me quite a while to realize that there's quite a lot more to it than that. He had to have a lot of conversations over beer with me to try and help me see that. Hopefully I've gone a little bit on that journey, and I'm hoping maybe people in this room can help me go on that journey further. So I want to talk a little bit about the approach that we're taking. I think Jakob talked about it, a few other people have talked about it. The design of Folio Systems is very much a modular one. It's also a very evolutionary incremental one. We're trying to support a place where these APIs can continue to evolve over time, and where they can, and at the moment, we're very much in the early days of a lot of them. One of the things, if you look at the code that I'll talk about later in the metadata work that we've done so far, there's not a lot of fields in there. That's a deliberate choice because we want, because it's a lot easier to add new fields than it is to remove existing ones. Adding new fields generally doesn't stop people from using your system. Removing existing ones might. So there is a cautionary tale to that, which is that we might find that we've gone down a blind alley. We don't want to do that. So where we're focusing our efforts on is trying to figure out structures and domain designs that allow us to evolve these in the future, but don't overly define the details right now. We need to know enough of the details to make sure we don't go down the wrong path. An example of that is you won't see a resource type in the domain model that I show later, but there probably might be in Folio in the future. It's too soon to be able to describe that with any degree of confidence, so we're just not doing it at the moment. Another aspect of this, and Chris and Neil have already talked about this, is that there's a high degree of collaboration while we've been working on this. For me, that largely involves interacting with the special interest groups, in particular the resource management, the metadata management, and the resource access groups. But it also involves coming to events like this, and a lot of the content on this talk is published on the wiki in a discussion document, and there's a discussion topic for it. I'd welcome anybody to read that and provide further feedback after this event. It's been very useful to me to receive written feedback from a variety of different people that feeds, then I can feed into that document and then feed into the SIG process, and it's a circle. We are very much at the stage of this project where we'd really like to hear about, and Mark alluded to it earlier, now is a really good time to tell us what you want, because we've got a better chance of at least knowing about it so that we don't make it impossible in the future or make it very difficult in the future. It may not go right to the top of the pile, but at least it gives us an idea of how we make sure we don't end up ruling out something that actually turns out to be really important. And of course, Jakob talked about it, the code is open source, so developer adoption is relatively easy. You just download some source code and you're on your way. To come back to the metadata part, with the work that we've been doing, we established two high-level objectives for the work that the work we're doing. One is to support a library's operational needs. That sounds kind of boring, but actually it's one way, it's to establish a baseline of functionality that most libraries will need, in order to do any of their day-to-day work. Now, it might be that that isn't adopted quickly as people move from other systems, but we know that, that we need that a lot of libraries need those features, or at least those features coming before they'll even think about Folio as a platform. But it's also about how efficiently some of that can be done. The second is to support novel or unforeseen uses of metadata. So this is the idea that if once, when metadata has been locked up in silos of systems where you can't get it out, or you can get it out, but you can't get it out in a nice way, you end up in a situation where there's lots of interesting information that you might be able to derive from this that you couldn't otherwise. For example, I mean, linked data offers you many opportunities for this because we can start to see how catalogs across organizations vary, or there's lots of interesting things. I will go into some examples, but not for very long. To digging into the operational needs, the reducing the repeated cataloging effort, I think, is a big thing for us. That's one of the reasons why we've been talking about supporting multiple knowledge bases and supporting external knowledge bases. This isn't to take away from the idea that there isn't a value in cataloging inside an institution. It's that a good percentage of the cataloging that goes on might not be needed. Like, we were talking over lunch about how about copy cataloging, and then the idea that effectively what we're doing is taking a record, taking a copy of it, varying it a little bit. We don't remember necessarily where it varied or how it varied from the original. And at that point, it's effectively a new record. That makes keeping things up to date, keeping things in sync, very difficult. It also makes it that every record has to be catalogued by every cataloger. And not every resource needs that. Some resources just maybe aren't as interesting as others. And therefore, we'd like to be in a position where people could spend the time on the interesting work, not on the on the mundane, and also on potentially, and of course there are complications to this, contributing that back to the community. If we can, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't think there necessarily needs to be 15,000 different representations of the metadata for Harry Potter. I mean, maybe there is, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm hoping not. I suppose I've started some of these themes. We'd like to make sure that the effort between integration between systems is reduced. Our argument for that is effectively that's the pain point that we hear a lot. And we'd like to see in a situation where it'd be easy to create, I think people have talked about connectors, be easy for us to say, well, actually, you know what, it isn't much effort to be able to translate what Folio represents metadata as into this system or into this system. And once it's done, we can share that. The biggest thing, and I'll skip over a couple of these, the biggest thing on this list as well is that it's very easy to get into a system where we build a nice system that has no data in it, and we expect somebody to be able to start from scratch and not have anything to put in there. That isn't realistic. Everybody already has existing systems with lots of data in them. We know that we need to make it as easy to transition as possible. And finally, this is a particular favorite of Sebastian Hammer's when he talks about this project. He finds it deeply frustrating that that physical and electronic resources representations have diverged to the point where quite a lot of time people are using different systems, they're using completely different workflows. Now, in some cases, those workflows deserve to vary, but in some cases they don't. And we've ended up in a situation where some aspects of those things we could unify potentially, and that could help reduce an awful lot of the effort, especially in integration and also in general administration. I won't go into into these examples, and I'll share the slides, and some of these are interesting, but these are some of the examples of projects that people in the Folio community have shared as examples of how, when they've actually been able to get hold of the metadata that they had, particularly administrative and descriptive metadata, they've been able to do some interesting analytics or refine some work processes. The article processing charge, for example, is one that Knowledge Integration have been working on for quite some time. Okay, so that's where we'd like to be heading. One of the questions is, how do we get there? And to start that off with this, we've started making some decisions, and we started working along this path, and I thought I'd go through a high-level overview of what those decisions have been, and then finally ending with where we are and where we're up to at that point. So, broad decisions that we've made. I think I've talked about copy and reference cataloging. This might not be official terminology. I'm not sure. I might be hoarded out of the room for some of these terms. But in this case, my definition of reference cataloging is the idea that effectively, if you got the original descriptive metadata from GoKB, it'd be nice to know that you got it from there. And yes, vary it locally and vary it towards your specific needs of your institution. But the fact that you know it's from there means that if that record's updated, we can know that. And we can know that that change might be relevant. Rather than it being a copy and that copy never knowing where it came from and therefore diverging without us really without us knowing why or how. We've talked about it, and this has been a theme in a number of talks, the idea of supporting multiple knowledge bases. I'll show a diagram of what we think that looks like to a point. We think this is really important because different knowledge bases are good at different things, but even if we didn't support multiple knowledge bases for one library, we know we've got to support them across the spectrum because there's no way every library is going to adopt the same knowledge base. You know, although I'm sure EBSCO might quite like it if everybody adopted EPKB. Or maybe not. Maybe, you know, some days his choice is a good thing. The other thing we've decided is that I've been quite fervent about this. The internal representation of metadata that Folio has might look very similar to a lot of the standards out there and a lot of the interesting things. It might look very similar to Ferber, and we'll see that in a minute. But it probably won't be an exact match for any of those. The reason for that is because if we pick one, we'll effectively end up with that one for the entire lifetime of that standard, and it becomes harder and harder to replace that internal representation with something that isn't that, because it'll become implicit that that's the standard, that's the representation that you've used. Now, I'm sure there'll be debate about this, and this might be a contentious decision, but it's one we've been talking about for a while. And finally, there's an attempt to unify physical and electronic resources. So that's where we've come to some of these decisions. But where do we start with that? Because that's quite a big long list, and there's quite a lot of work to be done here. So the actual development effort started with ingestion of an existing set of physical items. So we took some examples, we took them in mods, and we imported them into the system. And we're working on initial support for circulation that hopefully means that the circulation work in Folio can start soon. And that soon will be a representation of ebooks and electronic journals. That's to try and give us a broad spread of the variation of different types of metadata that we're dealing with. This picture is an early domain model that we've done. You'll notice from the instance and work and item that it looks an awful lot like BibFrame. And it looks a lot like GoKB, if anybody's seen GoKB modeling. That's deliberate. We've done a fair amount of research, and we like those models. There are some subtle and distinct differences. The package management aspects of it in the bottom left-hand corner are very similar to KB Plus's models for, and to a certain extent, the ones in EPKB for managing electronic resource packages. Right at the top of the page, you'll see this notion of internal and external instances. This is effectively the start of what I've been calling reference cataloging. Internal instances are the description of the descriptive metadata for that's relevant to your institution or your organization. External ones are ones that are curated by some external source. Either of these might be held in external or internal systems. Where they're held or where they're stored isn't necessarily the key thing here. The key thing here is who curates them and who owns them. The reason that there can be a reference to those is because we'd like to see a situation where you might start off with a situation where a library initially takes their existing catalogue of items and metadata. They import that into Folio, and that's entirely internal to them and entirely a next step transition. Over time, it might be that they hook up to a variety of other existing knowledge bases and find that those records look very similar to some of the records in the external sources. and slowly associate the two together so that when those records evolve, catalogers can be notified and can look and decide and curate those changes on an institution by institution basis, but still refer to them. And finally, the entitlement, electronic entitlement and physical item is the first attempt at trying to suggest that we want to unify electronic and physical items. That those names are likely to change. Quite a lot of this model is likely to change. We had a recent conversation where there's a lot of really good feedback. There are versions of all of these in the wiki documentation. So if you want to see the most up-to-date versions, please go there, because these slides will be out of date probably within weeks, if not days. To try and emphasize the point about multiple knowledge bases and external instances, I think I've gone through this. This is a model that we drew for attempting to understand what it might look like if we, what it might look like if we had a situation where you had your local inventory of physical items and that you had for all of the books in your library, but then wanted to refer to external sources for a lot of the descriptive metadata. One of the things that we wanted to emphasize was that we didn't want to be bound. We didn't want to accidentally make the interface to an external system or even the interface to another folio module look too much like any one existing system. So there's two up there deliberately. They're EBSCO, EPKB, and GoKB, predominantly because the people we've been talking to are most familiar with those two systems. But I quite like to see quite a long list on that left-hand side of different systems that we can integrate with, partly because it helps us refine the commonalities of the interface that we're designing. Jakob talked about how important API design is in this project, and one of the risks that we carry and one of the things that we have to be diligent about is making sure that those APIs stand the test of time, at least as much as we can get to right now. Looking at existing examples and seeing how they are similar and how they differ helps us to do that. This leads me into some of the linked data that we've been talking about and some of the standards. BibFrame has been quite a big inspiration for some of the work that we've been doing. I still find it quite hard to read standards documents, and I'd quite like to see more information on what some fields mean, but it's been very useful for structuring some things. Mods is up there because that's the first type of representation of external data that we've tried to import. We chose that purely because we had good examples that we had that we could use. We intend to support others. And Dublin Core is there because some of the data that we've existingly got in the current implementation exposes, I think, title at the moment as a Dublin Core, in a Dublin Core context. So you can use a Dublin Core parser to integrate with some of the aspects of the folio metadata as it stands. Migration is another thing that we've been talking about, and I think I've alluded to it. We've talked about a variety of different ways for this. One is integrating with existing systems so that existing systems feed data but don't migrate it. So effectively your interaction with that information is via folio, but it's not kept in folio. Eventually you might migrate it, and when you do migrate it, we've had this notion that the source records that you migrate, in some cases you might want to migrate once and then that's it, and effectively they become internal to folio and you can use all of the capabilities of folio. But in some cases that might not be possible, so we've talked about the idea of actually keeping them in their original representations. So let's say your entire catalog's in Mark 21 and you don't actually want to lose that. We've talked about the idea of having effectively a real-time translation for that so that it stays and is stored inside folio as Mark 21, probably in XML, but is converted to the internal folio representation so that most of the other modules in the system don't know. But actually some that do really care can still use that. That means that it could be possible to still edit records in a Mark 21 editor, for example, without having to export and import the system. One of the things that we've been doing with this, and we've been trying to do it actively, is to use real examples as we go along, because there's nothing quite richer than actual examples. I can make up really easy, convenient data that will make this system work nicely, but actually The real world doesn't really play out that way most of the time, I think. So that covers, I think, where we're trying to head to, or at least as Jakob said earlier, that covers where we're trying to head to over the plannable future. So it's, you know, the 3, 6 months, a year, no more than, you know, in the sense of setting a direction. It will change. It will evolve. We would like feedback on it. We'd like a lot of, we'd like to know if this makes sense. If anything I've said is crazy, I'd quite like to know. I'm sure that the people sitting in the front row are probably already thinking of things that I've said that are crazy and that I shouldn't have said. But we've had to make some decisions to try and move the project along, and we've made some progress already. Development started recently, and we have some things. This is a quick diagram of where we are. So we have 2 modules in the mod metadata repository that Jakob talked about. They effectively, one of which does the storage of instances and items in Postgres, and the other handles more high-level concerns like the importing from a mod record. We will be quite quickly evolving this. This is something that the primary goal that is adding to this is to be adding enough fields that we can do circulation of physical items. That's coming fairly soon. But we'll be moving on with other features, and this picture will change quite rapidly. Which this is a summary of, I guess. We've been working on an ingestion process from mods. The support for circulation is coming fairly quickly. Support for a circulation module so that the metadata that we store is enough for basic circulation to happen. Then we'll probably be looking at trying to represent electronic resources. Predominantly, this is so that we can actually get descriptive metadata from an external source, and most of the available external sources that we've got hold electronic resources rather than physical items. It also gives us the advantage of having represented physical and electronic resources fairly early on in the project. And next up on the list is to try and integrate with some of those systems. It's quite likely that because we have a lot of domain knowledge about these, it's quite likely that EPKB and GoKB will be some of the initial ones on that list, but there will probably be others. To summarize, and I've probably gone a little bit quicker than I intended to, but that's okay. To summarize, we'd like to support a progressive migration from any existing systems. We want to support multiple standards. We want to support multiple knowledge bases, and we want to support different types of metadata, but keep them distinct but related. So we don't want to repeat ourselves. We also want to keep them separate so that parts of the system that care about some parts of the metadata only need to care about those, and other parts of the system that only care about other types of metadata only care about those. Hopefully that should make it easier for the two to evolve separately. And we're aware that there's a lot of different resources that libraries are looking after, like walking sticks and buildings that we'd like to support. The linked data aspects, I think we know that interoperability is a big challenge, and linked data seems to be one of the ways to try and address that. The combination of standards and linked data appears to be the best way of addressing the interoperability challenges that organizations have. Even then, we know there's going to be needs for custom integrations, and we know that that probably means, so we have to make it easy for somebody to add a custom integration point into this system, and hopefully a variety of data, hopefully some aspects of linked data will allow us to do that too. So we haven't really looked at article level metadata from a development perspective. I know that a couple of the other people in the project have started looking at article level metadata. One of the challenges is with article level metadata is it tends to, at least from what we've been talking about, they tend to be held within stores that aren't allowed to share the actual article level information. We can share the outcomes. So we've largely been talking about it from a perspective of integrating with existing stores of that. That doesn't preclude actually storing article level metadata within Folio. We haven't modeled it yet. I would imagine what we'll end up with is a situation where we'll end up with a generalization of the model between instances, and where instead we'll be referring to resources, and articles will be another example of a resource, and they'll be related to each other, and there'll effectively be a nested relationship there. But we haven't explored it in any development sense detailed yet. There are some people on the project that have started digging into this from a from how you would deal with this from a research perspective and from other perspectives, but very much from a direction and focus perspective, not from a development one.